translation. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Gita. Aside from devotees, there are many others, non-devotees, known as karmis, jnanis, or yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, and voidists. There are many varieties of non-devotees who have their respected ways of liberation. But simply because they do not know the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, although they falsely think that they have been liberated and elevated to the highest position, they fall down, as clearly stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.3. Ashradhanaha purusha dhamasya parantapa apratyamam nirvantante mrityu samsara vatmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. It doesn't matter whether one is a karmi, jnani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, or whatever. If one has no love for the feet of the Lord, one falls down. This is the verdict given by Lord Brahma in this verse. This purport continues. There are persons who advocate accepting any processes and who say that whatever process one accepts will lead to the same goal. But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are referred to as Vamukta Manina, signifying that although they think they have attained the highest perfection, in fact they have not. In the present day, big politicians all over the world think that by scheming they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that even in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, and other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down. Pantantyada. To become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard. Arura kritchena, to achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal, at any moment one may be kicked down by the material nature. In human society, There have been many instances in which great exalted politicians have fallen from government and become lost to historical oblivion. The cause of this is avishuddha buddhya. Their intelligence is impure. The Shastras say, natti vudu svatam gitim hi vishnum. One achieves the perfection of light by becoming a devotee of Vishnu. But people do not know this. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, klesho dehaktasteshyam avyakta shaka chetasam. Persons who do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of the Godhead and take to devotional service, but who instead are attached to impersonalism and voidism, must undergo great labor to achieve their goals. Shriya Shritam Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibhu Krishanti Ke Kevala Bodha Lobdhya. To achieve something, To achieve understanding, such persons work very hard and undergo severe austerities, but their hard labor on austerities themselves are their only achievement, for they do not actually achieve the real goal of life. Dhruva Maharaj at first wanted to achieve the greatest material kingdom and greater material possessions than his father. But when he was actually favored by the Lord, who appeared before him to give him the benediction he desired, Dhruva Maharaj refused it, saying, Swamin kutato smivaram na yache. Now I am fully satisfied. I do not want any material benedictions. This is the perfection of life. Yam labdha chuparam labdham manyate nalikam tata. Bhagavad Gita 6:22. If one achieves the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, one is fully satisfied and does not need to ask for any other material benedictions. At night, one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Hold on. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word Aravinda Daksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes and transcendental form of Shamsundra is a failure. Premanjana churita bhakti valochanena santasa deva ridareshu valokayanti. Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love always see the Lord's lotus eyes and lotus feet, whereas others cannot see the beauty and are therefore classified as anandrita yusmad angraha, or neglectful of the Lord's personal form. Those who neglect the Lord's form are surely failures on every path of life. But if one develops even a little love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is liberated without difficulty. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends in Bhagavad Gita, Mamana Bhavamad Bhakto Marja Jivnam Naraskaru. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some slight homage to me. This Prabhupada says slight homage. Is that in the original? It's not the same. Slight homage unto me. Simply by this process, Prabhupada's being very liberal here. You know, very, just give a little bit, that's all. This is the mercy of the acharyas. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some slight homage unto me. Simply by this process, one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead, and thus attain the highest perfection. The Lord affirms further in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta pasanatma na sochatina kankshasi samasavashu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param bhaktya mama vajavanti yavan yas chasmi tatvadaha tato mam tatvato gyadva vishate tadarantaran. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional life to me. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Shri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanata Vandasya Ginanjana Jalagaya Chakshu Shumilitam Jena Tasmasi Gurve Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stavidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Bhutala Mariam Dalanti Svabarantikam Vanchika Bhaturu Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vyepacha Paritanam Vyo Vaishnava Namaha Jai Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitya Nando Shri Advaita Gadadha Svisari Gaur Bhakti Parinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram.
So this
When Prabhupada refers to devotee in his texts, you can take it that he means pure devotee. So that is understood. We also have to come to the platform of purity, become pure devotees, not mixed devotees. And then such realizations of spiritual life will come about in us. We have to become pure devotees, not mixed. Not Kama Mishra or Gyan Mishra, anything mixed. It has to be pure devotee. So this pure devotion is coming about when one develops love. Love, as Prabhupada says here, premanjana chita bhakti for lochanena shantasadevu. So where is this love coming? How will we acquire this love of God? This is the question. We love so many things in the material world, but these things we can see will not satisfy us. And ultimately, as Prabhupada says in this purport, you can build yourself a kingdom, but eventually you'll have to fall down. And Prabhupada, in this purport here, he's even discussing the position of the politicians. So he says, Kamis, Gyanis, Yogis, Philanthropists, Altruists, Hare Krishna, Impersonalists, he puts them all in the same category. Because they're all trying to live a life outside of Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead. He is the original person. He has expanded himself in so many different forms for his pleasure. We are also one of them energies. There is the three energies, material energy, marginal energy, spiritual energy. So we are the marginal energy. We have taken this, we're like Prabhupada says, like the crabs on the ocean. When you see the ocean coming and you see crabs, they can either go to the sea or they can go to the land. So we have this choice. So we are marginal potency. We have some independence. Krishna is giving us that independence. And we can choose how we want to utilize that independence. We are like Tatashta region, the in-between region. So how do you want to utilize? Where do you want to be? You can choose. Where do you want to be? This is the choice Krishna has given all of us. Because we have we are like samples of Krishna. We also have a tendency to want to enjoy. So, but in the Shastra and the Acharyas, we need to be guided by them. We need to be guided. Because if we leave it to our own means, we will not become successful. Even in this life, who is becoming successful simply by their own means? No one. Everyone is taking association of someone, whether it be in business, studies, or well, any field. You have to take advice and become guided, and then you'll reach your goal. But even if you reach your goal in the material world, that is not the ultimate goal. Therefore, we have to hear from our acharyas. Who are the acharyas? They are considered to be residents of the spiritual world, actually. Our acharyas, they are residents of the spiritual world. They have descended to distribute transcendental knowledge to us. They should never be considered ordinary personalities. One who considers our acharyas as ordinary personalities, he is missing the point. And Prabhupada said, he's called Nitya Siddha, isn't it? Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. One who is preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be considered Nitya Siddha. Such a personality, he's not to be considered as ordinary personality. So These personalities, who do they represent? Who are these? Who are Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Gaurakishore Das, Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur? These personalities, they are representing and have an understanding of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And them Goswamis of Vrindavan, they have been personally taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you know the first verse of the Shikshaskam. All glory to the Sankirtan movement, the prime benediction for humanity at large. It spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are anxious. So there's one verse. Vande Hum Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodido Gaudidaya Pushpavanto Chitrasandhu Tamonadu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they have descended like the sun and the moon. They have descended like the sun and the moon. Can you imagine if you have the sun and moon arising at the same time? What does it give? It will give you light. The sun gives you light. And the moon is also giving very cooling rays. Very cooling rays. So the moonshine. The moonshine gives great benedictions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Nityananda, they have arisen and they have wonderfully bestowed benediction of all. And that full moon, it expands rasa, it expands a mellow to all the living entities. What is this mellow? It is expanding. It is. This is coming from the spiritual world. Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan Latina Janma Kainotai. Samsara Vishnale Dimanisha Hiya Joy Jolate. This Sankirtan movement that Mahaprabhu is giving is descending into the material world and is bestowing great mercy on all. With us who are caught up in this samsara, although it is a wonderful taste, we appear not to have a taste for acquiring it. So this is our problem. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, Lord Nityananda has come, the sadhus have come, they have come to wonderfully bestow their benediction, we are sometimes very reluctant to take this benediction. It is described that why is it we are reluctant? We are in disease condition of life. The material energy, when we falsely identify with this material energy, it causes us to become diseased, and therefore the sweetness that is being offered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Lord Krishna's lotus feet, they are not so attractive to us. But still, the one good aspect, that this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is so merciful, that even though the jiva has no taste for engaging in transcendental loving service to Krishna so much, he is fortunate because he will become attracted in some way or other to the Nam Sankirtan, is described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, that even if you are not attracted to devotional service of Krishna, still, such personalities, they are a little attracted to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So it is that holy name of Krishna, the Nam Sankirtan, which is the greatest benediction. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokananda, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Sri Sri Gonitai, Guru, Mojodai, Kishodai, Guru, Sri 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 That is the greatest benediction for all the living entities, because it is sadhana sadhya. It is the means and the end. So one who has perfected this chanting of Hare Krishna, for him, the spiritual world is entering into his heart. So this is the great benediction of Mahaprabhu. And the impersonalists, they are trying to find something in, because actually if you understand Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is understood in different ways. So it's described Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So the impersonal aspect of God is one aspect of knowledge of God. You cannot deny its brilliance. In fact, I'll read you something from Jiva Goswami's Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha. This gives you an indication of the impersonal Brahman. It is quite a high platform. Here's one verse. The impersonal Brahman feature of the Supreme is unmanifested, free from old age, inconceivable, birthless, free from decay and diminution, indescribable, formless, without hands, feet, or other limbs, all-powerful, all-pervading, eternal, the origin of all material elements, without any cause present in everything, although nothing is situated in it, the source of the material cosmos, the object of vision for the demigods, and the object of meditation for those who aspire after liberation. The impersonal Brahman is the supremely subtle spiritual effulgence and abode of Lord Vishnu, which I described in the mantras of the Vedas. Brahman is the effulgence of the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, and the all-pervading Supersoul is the partial manifestation of the transcendental form of the imperishable Supreme Person, Sri Bhagavan. So you can see the spiritual energy, Krishna's spiritual energy. It is far superior than the material energy. There is some taste there. And so one who has freed himself from the material energy by concentrating on Brahman, as the impersonal philosophers do, there is some taste there. But that taste is described by our acharyas as just like the hoof print sometimes in the rainy season in India, the cows are running hither and thither and their foot goes into the mud. So that particular hoof print where the water is situated, that is considered to be like the Brahman, in terms of, if you compare it to the ocean of transcendental mellows in devotion to Krishna. So there is some taste in Brahman, but there is no comparison to the taste that one receives from entering into relationship with Krishna. And this is what Krishna wants. He wants us to enter into a relationship with him in love. And Prabhupada says in the purport that if you do not enter into such relationship, you will not sustain your spiritual life. Even in Brahman, you will not sustain for want of relationship. So sometimes people are fearful of relationships in the material world. They think, oh, relationships are so problematical. It's very difficult to have a loving relationship in the material world because, isn't it? If you think of our relationships, there's all kind of different hang-ups and trips going on. It's so difficult. But the acharyas, the pure devotees of Krishna, If you associate with them, they don't have these problems. They're always blissfully situated in devotional life. So they are liberated from all the self-centeredness, because the self-centeredness, lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, this is what causes the problems in the relationships. When you put all them things to one side, and one realizes oneself to be spiritual and everyone else spiritual, then there's no competition. There's no competition. It is all love. You're part of Krishna, I'm part of Krishna. Let's all please Krishna together. What is the difficulty? There is no difficulty. So this is the relationships in the spiritual world. And we should never consider Krishna or his devotees acting out their leelas with material bodies, which are full of lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. Their bodies are purely spiritual. And their relationships are all based on giving pleasure and serving. And it is transcendental ecstasy for all, always. So you can see, we are in a disease condition. So we need to be freed from that disease. So the Mayavadis, they try to artificially free themselves from that disease by means of austerity, hard austerities. In Rishikesh, you see some of these Mayavadis. In the morning they get up, they go and take a very cold bath in the Ganga. They don't listen to any music. They're very austere. They want to stop this material body trying to act. They're trying to stop it from functioning the way that it is trying to function in terms of being an enjoyer. They want to artificially stop something. How can you artificially stop? Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you cannot artificially stop. You cannot suppress yourself. So they're trying to suppress themselves. This is a very dangerous path, actually. And Prabhupada says that actually these impersonal philosophers, they're secretly in Maya, actually. Secretly they're in the modes of nature. They just pretend that they're liberated. And you can see that. Some of these great yogis, Maharishi and all these others, it later gets found out they're doing all kinds of other activities. So Prabhupada said, unless you're actually situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, so this love is required. We require if we want to become, fix our mind on Krishna, we want to fix our mind on Krishna, we must acquire love for Krishna. It is described. Otherwise, how are you going to fix your mind on Krishna? Can you fix your mind on Krishna by your austerity, by your intellect, by your service? Can you? You might try to think, oh, actually, I'm going to absorb myself in my service. I'm going to work very hard. And then that way I shall fix my mind. Well, it's true. To some extent, that's true. But one requires you require love. Just like a young boy and a young girl, they are attracted naturally to each other. There's no question of sadhana. You don't have to tell a young boy to practice the art of becoming attracted to his young girlfriend, do you? It is spontaneous in him, and vice versa. This love is required. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, this love. So we must learn, and this love is acquired through chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the means and the end. So we should practice this art with great faith, actually. This is the key. You have faith in what I'm saying, everyone? Huh? You have faith because this is required. Like there's a story Prabhupada gives of the cobbler and the Brahmin. Narad Muni is passing by and he was, you know the story? I'm sure some of you do. Now, Muni was passing by, there's one cobbler, one Brahmin, so on his way, the cobbler and the Brahmins were requested, "Oh, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to see Lord Narayan," he said. "Oh, when you see him, would you mind requesting him that when is it I will become liberated?" So the Brahmin was asking like that. Could you please ask him when I shall become liberated? So the Brahmin was a very pukka man, doing all his yajna, all his sacrifices like Brahmins do. The cobbler was a very humble man doing his business, cobbling. So then Narad Muni went to see Lord Narayan, and he was asking, "Oh, one cobbler and one Brahmin were asking me, when will they become liberated?" So Lord Narayan said, "Oh, this cobbler, he will become liberated next life. He will come to me." And the Brahmin, Narad Muni questioned, "Oh, he will many, many lives time. He's not coming to me yet." So Narad Muni was puzzled by that. So he was asking Lord Narayan about that incident. So he said, "Well, you tell when you go back to see them and they ask you this question, they'll ask you what I was doing, and then you can tell them I was threading elephants through the eye of a needle." You can say, "That's what I was doing. I was threading elephants through the eye of a needle." So he returned and he saw the Brahmin first. "Oh, you saw Lord Vishnu?" "Yes, yes, I saw." "Oh, what was he doing?" "Oh, he was threading elephants through the eye of a needle." And then the Brahmin said, "Oh, no, no, you cannot be speaking. It is impossible. How can you say he was doing such things?" So he did not take faith on that. Then he came to the cobbler, and he said, the cobbler asked, "Oh, what was my Lord Narayan doing?" "Oh, he was threading elephants through the eye of a needle." And the cobbler, "Oh, very nice." He immediately accepted. And Narad Muni said, "Well, why you have faith? Are you not surprised that Lord Narayan can do such things?" He said, "No, I am not surprised, because even in my garden I see there are trees, and the trees, they spout leaves and they spout seeds, and each seed of that tree is able to give hundreds and hundreds of thousands of more trees. So it is no difficulty for me to accept that my Lord Narayan can act in such ways." So just see, he was a humble cobbler, but he had faith. And the Brahmin, who was so-called chanting his mantras and doing all his religion, so it is a question of faith. Faith comes from hearing. We should always hear from the sadgurus, from the pure devotees, because they have that faith, and they are able to convey that faith. That's why it is said in many parts of the scriptures that you should hear from the lips of the pure devotee. Because that's sometimes people think, "Oh, that's a controversial statement." It is not controversial. It's there all in our Shastra. You should hear. And also Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, he takes it even further. He says, the one should seek devotees who have become visible to us and hear from them. So this, because why? Because they can impart their faith to you. When you're hearing from such a sadhu, if you're hearing in the right way, they will, or you will be able to understand their consciousness, because that is the way That is the way transcendence works. And it is a fact, like the Bhagavatam is like that, isn't it? The Srimad Bhagavatam, it is considered to be becoming is Krishna. Bhagavatam and Krishna are not different. Bhagavan and Bhagavatam. Krishna is coming in the form of the Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam, what is the essence of the Bhagavatam? The essence of the Bhagavatam is 10th canto, Krishna's loving relationship with his devotees. Because he has descended into this world to demonstrate and show, this is how I live my life with my devotees. These relationships full of transcendental bliss. Anandam Buddhivadanam, ever-increasing loving relationships. It is a mystery because in the material world we don't have that understanding. Even old people, or perhaps even young lovers, they get together. And there is that spark of attraction, very deep attraction. But that attraction, after a while, it wanes. It goes to other ways. There's no real loyalty there, actually. You're always looking in one way or another for some other attraction. Oh, this is a very beautiful person. Oh, I should become attracted. Then later, oh, actually, that person's a lot. I'm going to accept you. Now I'm going to reject you. There's no real... why? Because it is temporary. It is coming and going, accepting, rejecting. It doesn't have the same spiritual potency as Anandam Buddhivadanam energy of the spiritual potency in the spiritual world. There, Krishna, when he is meeting Srimati Radharani and Krishna, Radharani is meeting Krishna, there is a great attraction to meet. And when the separation takes place, there is a great lamentation. Oh, now we're separate. But soon we'll be meeting again. And that energy is always increasing. There's no limit to it. That is God, and that is how God and Krishna and all his associates work. They work in that energy, not in this energy. So this is faith. You have to have faith. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the sun god. You have faith the sun god is that? People think, oh, the sun is just... Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, we like his philosophy, but he actually speaks about the sun god. That there's a sun god? No. The sun is just a big, like an energy in the sky. And it is just a matter of nuclear... They say it's a matter of these nuclear explosions going on of some sort. But no, you have to take... Prabhupada says you have to take everything that Krishna says. There is a sun god. Like that. So these different, you have to have faith that there's different levels of different, dimensions. We only see in three dimensions. There's so many different dimensions. So these things are required. It's like there's a debate going on, is the planet flat, or is the Earth a globe, or is the Earth flat? There's a debate going on, isn't there? You've heard about this? In the Vedic literature, someone is described as a boom handle, a disc, a plane. Actually, Sadaputta Prabhu, the late Sadaputta, he gives a very good explanation to these points. It is both round. It is round because to our senses we can only see it in a certain way. Just like a bull, if you tether a bull to a post, it just goes round and round and round. It is limited, Prabhupada says. It's limited. It cannot go anywhere other than going round and round on that post. So our senses are limited. We're working in three dimensions. So we cannot see other aspects and other planes. Now they go to the moon planet, they say, for instance. And if they go, did they actually go to the moon? Huh? And if they did go to the moon, what did they bring back? Dust, because they didn't see what's actually there, because the moon planet is a heavenly planet. Therefore, they didn't have the senses to properly see what is there anyway. So like that, there are different dimensions, and we have to... this process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra enables us to acquire the spiritual dimension. Not only chanting, but also by hearing from sadhus who read these topics. And when they read them, like Sukadeva Goswami, when he spoke the Bhagavatam, it became even sweeter. Because he's a realized soul. And when he realized this topic, when he has faith in this topic, this is what defines an uttama. Uttama is someone who has faith. He knows it. He realizes it. He experiences it. So this is our process of acquiring love. We require love by associating and serving devotees who have that love. And then that understanding of devotional life will come to us. Okay, well, it's getting late now. Nothing. I think we'll just leave it there. Okay, any comments, questions?